The horror was in the waiting. The unknown. The insomnia. The ulcers. Co-workers ignored each other and hid behind locked doors. Secretaries and paralegals passed along the rumors and refused eye contact. Everyone was on edge, wondering, who might be next? The partners, the big boys, appeared shell-shocked and wanted no contact with their underlings. They might soon be ordered to slaughter them. The gossip was brutal. 10 associates in litigation terminated. Partially true. Only 7. The entire estate division closed, partners and all. True. 8 partners in antitrust jumping to another firm. False. For now. The atmosphere was so toxic that Samantha left the building whenever possible and worked with her laptop in coffee shops around Lower Manhattan. She sat on a park bench one pleasant day, day 10 after the fall of Lehman Brothers, and gazed at the tall building down the street. It was called 110 Broad, and the top half was leased by Scully and Pershing, the biggest law firm the world had ever seen. Her firm, for now, though the future was anything but certain. 2,000 lawyers in 20 countries, half of them in New York City alone. 1,000 right up there, packed together on floors 30 through 65. How many wanted to jump? She couldn't guess. But she wasn't the only one. The world's largest firm was shrinking in chaos, as were its competitors. Big Law, as it was known, was just as panicked as the hedge funds, investment banks, real banks, insurance conglomerates, Washington, and on down the food chain to the merchants on Main Street. Day 10 passed without bloodshed, as did the next. On day 12, there was a flash of optimism as Ben, one of Samantha's colleagues, shared a rumor that credit markets in London were loosening a bit. Borrowers might find some cash after all. But late that afternoon, the rumor had run out of gas. Nothing to it. And so, they waited. 2 partners ran commercial real estate at Scully and Pershing. One was nearing retirement age and had already been shoved out. The other was Andy Grubman, a 40-year-old pencil pusher who'd never seen a courtroom. As a partner, he had a nice office with a distant view of the Hudson. Water he hadn't noticed in years. On a shelf behind his desk, and squarely in the center of his ego wall, there was a collection of miniature skyscrapers. My buildings, he liked to call them. Upon completion of one of his buildings, he commissioned a sculptor to replicate it on a smaller scale, and he generously gave an even smaller trophy to each member of my team. In her 3 years at S&P, Samantha's collection had 6 buildings, and that was as large as it would get. Have a seat, he ordered as he closed the door. Samantha sat in a chair next to Ben, who was next to Isabel. The 3 associates studied their feet, waiting. Samantha felt the urge to grab Ben's hand, like a terrified prisoner facing a firing squad. Andy fell into his chair and, avoiding eye contact, but desperate to get things over with, he recapped the mess they were in. As you know, Lehman Brothers folded 14 days ago. No kidding, Andy. The financial crisis and credit meltdown had the world on the brink of a catastrophe, and everyone knew it. But then, Andy rarely had an original thought. We have 5 projects in the works, all funded by Lehman. I've talked at length with the owners, and all 5 are pulling the plug. We had 3 more in the distance, 2 with Lehman, 1 with Lloyd's, and, well, All credit is frozen. The bankers are in their bunkers, afraid to loan a dime. Yes, Andy, we know this too. It's front page. Just get it over with before we jump.